participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitation for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Okay, last call before we go to break. Hi, who's this?
Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
I, my husband does commercials for this dealership.
Yes?
And I just wanted to say that he is a dirty, filthy bastard.
Oh, no.
And he wants to know if you have any cars that run on hemp.
Do you have any of the new hemp cars?
Yes.
Well, Buzz just bought one.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you know who I am? Hi, this is Marcia Elston. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, you know what? Morning, Marcia. How are your eyes?
I have never seen better.
Wow, that must be great.
I'm looking at Buzz right now, and he is rolling a joint the size of a giant roll.
That must be terrific.
I love being Marcia Elston.
Hey, and why shouldn't you? It's a great person to be, isn't it?
It's great being me. It's great being married to Buzz. It's great waking up and doing all my feminine things while listening to your show on Saturday mornings.
Well, God knows we appreciate it, Marcia.
Well, Rob, good luck to you.
And good luck to you, Marcia.
I'll be right there, Buzz. Buzz needs me to change his wound again.
You know, your voice, it sounds a little throaty. Maybe a Claritin.
You know, I am constantly rolling bandages for my husband, Buzz.
I understand. And that's what keeps him alive. God bless you, Marcia Elston.
Good day to you, sir.
I said good day.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Stop the rumor. Stop the rumor.
Woo!
Stop the rumor.
Wah, 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 wah.
Stop the rumor.
Woo!
You got bad breath, Buzz. Bad breath.
Come now, you speak as if they were a gaggle of slack-jawed yokels.
Advised.
Beware!
Just like one of them, all the broken pinkies.
Yeah, every one of them.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Baby, and all the ships at sea.
Baby.
Both safety tested to impacts up to 35 miles an hour. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robin. Hi, and nice to see everybody on tonight's show. New episode on this Tuesday. October 1st. Rabbit. Phone number from anywhere in America. Your hotline to the hits, 877-365-3636.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi.
There you go. Tighter than my corset.
Man, you're wearing a corset.
Tighter than my girdle.
You're in pain. You're still in pain.
Ouch. Let me just say.
And Rob had a baby.
Yeah. Yes, congratulations, Rob.
You look like Scarlett O'Hara over there.
That is our lead story that, in fact, Rob's wife, Carrie, squeezed out.
Oh, my God.
Tell him the dimensions of the baby and then the boy's head.
He was born yesterday at 9:41, Robert W. Spiewak III, or wow. Trip. 10 pounds, 2 ounces.
Yeah.
21 and 3 quarters inches, and his head is 15 inches.
Wow.
You might have remembered the same dimensions at the very end of Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
When that Michelin Man, the Marshmallow Man.
That's right. The Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Same, you know, looks nothing like that, but the same exact dimension.
15-inch head.
Yeah, you know what was great is yesterday.
Good head.
Charlie Broyhill drafted him for his fantasy league.
There you go.
It's terrific. He's doing great.
Baby Trip Spiewak.
Mother and baby doing well. Carrie was able to pee today, so she doesn't have to get a catheter, and
that's
now we're
good.
Just waiting on a fart. Love you, darling.
That's what you do when you get the it was a C-section, right?
Yes, it was.
Of course
so
it was.
They wait
believe
with mother to pass
gas.
Yes.
Of course it was a C-section.
And they had the baby came out with no trouble. Carrie, she said, she's just so weird. She can't, like, watch the show ER
right.
without getting queasy. And she said, yeah, I was in there for an hour. They had that mirror up. I watched them take out and replace my uterus 4 times.
Oh, my God.
Hey.
She mentioned that to me last night. The many internal organs that they, I guess, have been taking out and taking a look at and throwing them around the room, playing a hot potato with them and then putting them back in.
I never watched when both my kids were born and both of them were born with C-section. But apparently, I watched it on the Learning Channel one time. And what they do is they actually bring the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And then they take the baby out and they put the whole thing back in.
It's like the game of Operation.
It is indeed. Remove wrenched uterus.
That's right. And Carrie's nose lit up bright red. It was marvelous. It's
incredible. That's when the doctors would touch the sides.
I looked over the curtain just long enough to see Trip come out, and it just looked like a bowl of vegetable soup.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
But somehow I was lost in the moment. So it was.
And they process babies at that hospital.
Oh, my
That's
Lord.
That's a baby-making machine.
My second child, Elizabeth, was born at that hospital, and they are a baby factory. I believe it is the number one suburban hospital in the United States for the volume of births.
They push them in and move them out. And the thing that's new, this is where also my first baby was born like 2 years ago.
Right.
There's all sorts of new security measures in place. The clip they use to tie off the belly button when it's born, you know, they clip it and cut it and shove them onto the next room.
Yeah, they clamp it.
They
just save it and 5, 6, it's like wedding cake.
Yeah.
you put it in the freezer.
Right.
And then on the baby's 5th or 6th birthday, you eat it.
It's a stew.
But it's got like a little pill-shaped thing on it, and I didn't think anything of it, and they're going over, as you can see, I'm wearing this handsome, just gay.
What, you mean the little plastic cap they put on
right.
the umbilical cord?
And, you know, they have it, there's a number on it, and there's
right.
a number on your wrist at all times, and they'll never surrender the baby to you or anything unless the numbers match up. And they said, now, be very careful when you're taking your baby for a walk, because the belly button clip has a sensor in it, like you'd see it like Macy's or Hex. If a baby goes into the elevator...
Oh, you hear that beep, 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 beep?
Or a stairway... The whole hospital goes into lockdown.
That's different than
isn't
what Mike
did. Isn't that amazing?
Cool.
That's good security.
Yeah.
Because of the recent rash of babies
right.
being ripped off out of hospital.
They give you all these instructions and stuff, but they said it never comes really to pass because once a baby, and everything's on the second floor, so once you get into a stairwell or an elevator, the whole thing closes up like a movie.
Well, what if you got one of those, what if you wanted to steal a baby?
Right.
You got one of those jobbers that they use when you're at the gap?
Take off the security device?
Could you do that?
You could, but then all the babies baby would leak out because it hasn't healed shut yet.
Yeah, it'd be pretty bad for the baby.
The only question I had is how they got the sensors into the hospital.
Without locking down the hospital.
Exactly. And they said, shut up. Your room's 240, right? Shut up.
He is going 1 million miles an hour, and who can blame him?
Yeah, hey, it's a thrilling event. You know, we both talked to Rob yesterday, and it was something else. It was at one point, I got a phone call. I think I was talking to you. I was talking to you and talking to Rob at the same time. Something, you know, it was like a overlapping phone calls. And I was on the phone after Rob called me, and I didn't want to bother him and, you know, say, hey, what's the deal? Has Gary had the baby yet?
Right.
So Rob called me right after I left here, and then the phone was beeping. I think it was something about you. And I went back to Rob, and I said, listen, I got to run. Congratulations. Then I called back, and Rob, I think, might have been on the phone with you. And so I left a message for... not Rob, but Baby Trip.
I saved it. If we could play it, I think.
Really? Pretty good. Say, this is the. If you'd like to play it, I have a message for Baby Trip.
Well, I can't play it.
What's that?
I can't. I don't know Rob's.
Oh, I'll dial it up in a second. But yeah. I have something else I need to tell you guys about Joe that I thought was pretty funny yesterday. I had not any idea of anything happening to you,
right?
Because I'm in a hospital. You know,
this is Joe.
There are no radios or no nothing, and so you know, go through the whole morning. The morning starts out. I'm sweating. It's 60 degrees. My air conditioning is on. I've just had, as they say, a rare day. And it finally gets to be about 10 minutes after 3. Carrie's in bed and the baby's in the room and cooing and making great noise. They say,
right,
this is time to call the show so we can, you know, give all the good news. And I call the hotline and Joe answers. I say, hey, Joe, it's Rob. Hey, Rob, how you doing? I said, good. I said, can you put me on hold? He says, sure. And he puts me on hold. And I'm just waiting. And like a minute passes.
Idiot.
And he picks up the phone. He says, hey, Rob. Yeah. Why did you want to be on hold? I said, well, as you know, Carrie had a baby, and I'd like to discuss it with Don and Mike. He said, dude, we're in best of today. And I said, oh, is everything all right? He says, yeah. Don got hit by a car. And I said, what? He said, yeah, Mike just talked about it. I said, is he all right? He said,
like Joe, you know, not realizing perhaps when you're having a baby.
Director of First Impressions, Joe Ardinger.
Exactly.
My man, Joe.
Like maybe when you're having a baby, you're not necessarily riveted to the radio. Here he comes.
There he is.
Here he comes.
Oh, here he is to defend himself.
Same man that brought our 8th newspaper in the office.
All right, very good. Now, that's my fault. That's my fault, because I didn't know you had newspapers.
What, Joe?
I said, yeah, Don got hit by a car. Rob goes, what? I got to tell Carrie.
No, but before that, I believe Carrie and I had the same reaction. It was like, well, was the Cadillac total?
Yeah.
You know, because that's what we initially thought.
Everybody
asked
me that. Everybody says, how was the car?
Right, yeah.
I said, everybody, I got hit by a car.
Yes. And, you know, to me, as soon as you said that to me, I think I may have, gotten the confirmation, you were hit by a car, but it's very clear that when you get hit by a car, you get, I knew it was, you know, you walking around getting hit. You don't want to by looking at you. I mean, it was amazing.
You can't not laugh at it. I laughed at it yesterday.
Good.
When I got to work, when I told Mike.
Right.
When I got here. And he says, what's wrong? He said, I got hit by a car.
God. I'm sorry for that. You know.
Only you.
Because I did that thing when you almost drowned in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm real hypersensitive to laughing at your death-defying experience.
There's nothing you can do but laugh at it. Let me just say first.
And I'm not going to laugh at that thing you're wearing today.
And you better not.
Okay.
Because I have no choice, vest boy. I have no choice but to wear this beautiful whatever.
Now don't threaten me and say I better not, because I'm trying not to. And if you say I better not, that's like going into church and saying don't laugh in the middle of church. Don't laugh. You are definitely there. You're in pain, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely there's a lot of Ed today.
Yeah.
A lot
of Ed. It's Ed anger. Just
everybody.
Waiting,
I just want to warn everybody.
To pop his head out.
Be on your best behavior.
Let me also say, though, Mike, even if I had taken my meds before the show, which I won't do.
Mm.
No, I'm sorry, I won't.
Okay.
I just won't do it. I still think that if the roles were reversed.
Yes.
And if you had been hit by a car.
Right.
And we're wearing, well, no, I laugh at you, never mind.
Thank you.
What is it? Never mind.
You laugh at me, but I give you the same look you gave me.
Yeah, right.
Which is, you know, I'm going to take only so much S today.
Correct.
Which is fine, and I totally respect that.
Especially after you hear about my time in the therapy room today.
Oh.
Humiliation beyond humiliation.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. You know, first off, Let me just say this about that. That I know Ken Stevens has been through a rough time. But for him to take his car and hit me yesterday at the CVS,
that was really uncalled for.
I think that is a low blow,
yeah,
and Ken,
that's nasty.
You will be hearing from my attorney.
There you go.
That I promise.
As it should be.
You know, going to the CVS, get a newspaper, get some Altoids. Mm-hmm. I'm walking out of CVS, the drugstore. I look both ways,
right?
As you know, mommy tells you to do.
Good.
I'm halfway in the little turnaround area there, and this guy, God bless him, first name George, age 66.
Yeah.
Although might as well have been 166. Comes barreling around the corner, does not even look up. I see him out of the corner of my eye. They turn. And that pushed me over.
Oh, my God. Now, take us through the actual impact. Did he... What side of the car? Was it right on, dead on the center?
No. It was his front left. So the driver's side...
Okay. So he got you just as you were walking into the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I turned to face him, and he actually... I have cuts on my knees.
Right.
From where the bumper... hit me in the knees.
Was there the screech of brakes when he realized that he'd made contact?
I don't remember hearing it. And when I went back today,
yeah,
to the site of the accident,
yeah,
no evidence.
No tire marks.
No evidence that the guy had ever slammed the brakes on.
Did you go airborne?
Yeah, I went back about 5 feet.
Wow.
And landed right here, right on my left hip.
Right.
Now, at the time that it happened, I jumped up. Means, well, God, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Felt pretty good. Went to the old guy's car. This old guy, I felt so bad for him. He's crying.
Oh.
I get to the car. I told Mike, he looks like a much older Junior Soprano, if that's possible.
I'm really sorry.
The guy was crazy. I thought I killed you.
You better get somebody to tongue my bees.
I said, I'm fine. And at that point, he says, do you want to call the police? Do you want to call an ambulance? And I said, no, you know what? I think I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
Give me your information. So I get his license. I get his name, his phone number. I get in my car to come to work. By the time I get out of the car, half hour later at work, finally my back is a little stiff.
Right.
By the time I get upstairs, it's freaking killing me.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, one of our best friends is a great orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah.
Tom.
Dr. Tom.
Dr. Tom. Mm-hmm. And... it's so great just to be able to call. You know, in this day and age, when you call for a doctor and you have to say, I need an appointment, they say, how about 3 weeks from now?
Yeah, you and I and Tom has helped for a variety of things for healthcare.
I called him up and, you know, is it me? Is it the medication?
It's the medication.
Or is it hot in here?
It is hot.
It's a little warm.
Is it hot?
Once in my life, I'm not sweating.
Is it the fact that I am wearing this...
I think you're
plastic corset, this rubber...
That'll do it.
This rubber corset.
I think that might be what's probably making you warm. You're dripping off.
I'm sweating,
dripping.
Too.
Oh, you are? So it is warm in here?
And if you're not sweating, maybe you're in ill health. I don't know.
Who knows? You know.
Are they working on the air conditioning?
The air conditioning is on right now.
And so. I think it's not blowing fumes in here, so that's... So it should be better, but we got to make it a little chillier in here.
Okay.
And you're more comfortable standing up than sitting down?
You bet your ass.
Okay, all right.
You bet. That I have discovered.
All right.
Okay. The hard way.
Yes, sir.
So.
All right, I want to make sure that everything's... is there anything anyone can get for you?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, all right.
Really, I'm fine.
You were struck by an automobile yesterday.
Concerned.
You're going to get...
It's funny.
It was as I said yesterday, before I got out of here, the pedestrian collision.
Yes. Really, you can't help but laugh at it. You can't. I mean,
it is funny.
So, I jump up and
totally his fault. I mean, when you're in a shopping center parking lot, it's up to you. You gotta. Do you want a towel?
Yeah. You know, I'm really sweating.
You are dripping.
I'm sweating like a pig here. So the guy says, he gives me the information. I get here to work. As I mentioned, my back is really stiff, and I said to Mike, you know, God damn. When we got done laughing about the fact that I got run over by an old guy, I said, well, this is bad. So I called up Tom.
It was obvious to me that by 5-minute increments, it was getting steadily worse. I mean, to the point where you weren't even making a lot of sense. You were just kind of mumbling.
When I spoke to you, I guess you were almost to
oh, Robin, I apologize
for
that.
But you really sounded like you were at death's door.
Yeah,
I got it. I just got to go. I mean,
so what
really
happened
sounded
to you
miserable.
When you got to the doctor, what happened?
I get there, and of course, like everybody, they said, we'll get you right in. What happened? Oh, I was hit by a car. Mm-hmm. And what? The first question everybody asks, even the doctors, mm-hmm. how was your vehicle? You know, and then
why do people have trouble with that?
I don't know.
I was hit by a car.
I was hit by a car. And then even the people in the doctor's office,
doctor,
they can't help but smile. You know, because obviously it's okay. Right. I'm not dead.
Right. I was hit by a car.
I was hit by a car.
Maybe if you change hit to struck.
I
was struck by a car.
I think it's this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way, Joe.
Struck by a car.
Struck by a car.
Stricken.
So the
by the weapon known as an automobile.
So I get to the his office yesterday, and man, it's killing me. And they get me on this machine for the X-rays. They have great technology now in this doctor's office that you don't have to wait for the X-rays.
Right.
He has computers in each of the rooms where you see the doctor,
where they can go right in there and take a peek.
Yeah. So I mean, they took the X-ray. 2 seconds later, Tom walks in. He pulls up the X-ray. We're looking at it. He's going around with a mouse.
And Tom's one of those doctors that just exudes that doctor confidence that you like, you know, where he just comes in, I've got it all figured out.
Yeah, he doesn't say, I think it might be this, or I think it might be this.
No, he does everything. He's a great doctor.
He goes right to the end, and it's got this thing where you can enlarge and you put the mouse down, and the little arrow goes to one area of the X-ray, and you can...
Can that actually enlarge a body part?
I don't think so. You make the picture larger.
I understand,
so
Dave.
That here's the deal. Your hip on the right side, see how these two bones, they got pushed together?
Sure.
Look how on the other side, the two bones are so much farther apart.
Wow. So you got a little dislocation there.
Yes. Slight dislocation, some bone chips. And at that point, he tells me, I'm going to have to wear this thing.
Man, you were in, like, broken pelvis territory if it had been any harder. And
very close.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing now this thing. And the only way to describe this thing is...
It's a truss.
It is it's like made out of material like a diving suit.
Right.
That hard, that yet pliable plastic rubber.
Looks like the things you'd see the people at Costco wear.
Yeah,
like a
support. Right. Yeah, and it's Velcroed as hell, except on the back end of it, it has a giant...
pad.
A giant pad.
Right
by my ass bone. And he says...
It doesn't look to me like it's helping you at all.
It does.
Does it help?
It truly does. If it wasn't helping, I wouldn't be wearing it.
So the lack of... It doesn't look comfortable is what I'm saying.
But what it does is it's enabling my back... to be straight.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
It's enabling me to stand here and you know, do the show. So,
is there any chance when I eventually, since because you're banged up, we're not going to pay off the bet tonight? Is there a chance that when I go down and wear the vest, you could wear that without a shirt?
No.
Okay.
No friggin' way.
Just checking.
Okay. No way.
Just checking.
So they couldn't be nicer to the people at the doctor's office. Immediately, they tell me exactly what's wrong.
Right.
They give me the prescription for the meds. They say, now you come back tomorrow morning and you're going to have to go through therapy.
Right.
We're not going to operate. It's going to be therapy.
Oh, and when you told me that yesterday, I said, oh, boy.
So
is anybody that's gone through any kind of physical therapy, it is a grind.
And I said, great, because I'm thinking no operation. I'm not going to miss any work time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get there today for the therapy, and it's like for the next 6 weeks, they want to book 3 times a week.
How long are you there for?
Hour and a half each time. So today I get there this morning for the first exam.
Do they start with the enema?
No. Well, now here's where it gets hinky. I got to take... Well, let me keep my socks on.
Yeah.
But I got to put the hospital gown on that, you know, and I can't reach around to tie it in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sir, your ass is showing.
And I've got my underpants on. And the first thing that she wants to do, and of course, just my luck, in a clinic with a bunch of guys who look like they just got off the boat from a leper colony, I get the one... I mean, piece of ass.
Turbo hottie. Ooh.
I get this woman.
She going to be the regular one for you?
Just beautiful. God, I hope so.
You can arrange that.
Although after today, I don't know, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
You didn't fart in front of her.
No. Just beautiful, big jugs.
Who's the celebrity she most resembles?
Back in the day, Barbara Eden.
Really, like a young Barbara Eden?
Like I Dream of Jeannie,
like
Barbara
Jeannie?
Eden, yeah.
All right.
So she comes in, and immediately I get nervous because I think I'm going to get one of these pimply face guys, and instead I've got this hot piece of ass.
And you're fully turgid.
And she says, I'm going to do some flexibility tests on you.
Oh, wow. Baby.
Wow. Now, they involve, besides the thing where you hit your knee with the little hammer,
right?
Involves her touching my feet.
Oh, dear. Yeah, because for reflexology?
Yeah, and yeah. I got to... Oh, there you go. It's hammer time. Yeah. I said hammer. I got to think about my feet. Yeah. Even though I'm wearing socks. And I said to her, do you have to touch my feet? And she said, it's the only way that I can gauge if the muscles are disturbed below your buttock.
Right.
So, you know, she's doing the thing where she's holding my feet and saying, push, now pull, push, now pull. We got done with that, and I thought, okay, the worst is over.
Sure.
She says, now what I'm going to do is we're going to start with a little massage, and then we're going to do electro, and then we're going to put ice on it.
Okay.
That's all we're
going
to do today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got nothing to worry about. I said, great.
A little massage.
She says, lay on the table. Lay on your belly on the table.
Okay, all right.
I'm on the belly on the table.
Yes, boy.
And as I'm laying there, this hot, hot, beautiful woman opens the back of my gown.
Yeah.
And pulls my underpants down like halfway, so half of my ass is showing because the spot where I really hurt the most is right around the belt line on the left side.
Yes. When you say halfway down, she pulls all the underpants down, or she pulls half, like, pulls them down off the side of you, exposing one buttock.
No. Oh, now I'm laying on my stomach.
Right. How far does she pull them down?
Virtually three quarters of the way down my ass. So I said, I'm laying there, and I said, well, you must have won the lottery today. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you get to look at my big fat ass. And she said, I've seen worse. Yeah, hey, thank you. Thanks, nurse. Thank you, nurse.
What a wonderful compliment that is.
So,
oh, my God.
Hurts. Rubbing.
Right.
And she's rubbing the area that hurts, and that feels good. And then she's rubbing the area that the other side that doesn't hurt, and that feels okay. And then she starts, like, getting close to my butt. And I said to her...
Like the bad part?
No, just the outside. But I said...
Was there anything that might have resembled even the slightest probe?
I said, can we stop for just a second? And she said, sure, are you in pain? And I said, this is going to sound weird, but I'm anal about my anus. I said, I got a real...
You said that to her?
Yeah, I said, I got a real...
Wow.
I got a real butt thing. And I said, I've got a lower back problem.
Right.
But you've got my underpants. And keeping in mind, I'm saying this while I'm laying on the table with a dressing gown open on the back, and she's got my whole ugly back there.
Man.
Not to mention, she's looking at three quarters of my big, gigantic ass.
What a shame you couldn't just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah. I said, I'm a little anal about my anus, and...
Look at him over there. He would have said, would you like to pull them down further?
I said, and I've noticed that you're rubbing, like, on my buttocks. And she said, well, I have to.
That's where your hip is.
But yeah, that's what she said. I said, it hurts higher than...
Yeah, but she's got to get down there and knead. Really, the best thing to do would be for you to completely relax.
Higher than my buttocks.
Give yourself to her.
So I say, all right, let's just continue this exercise.
And right.
She goes ahead, and then she says, now.
Now I'm going to get the jelly out.
She did go and get some creams.
Really?
And was rubbing with cream.
Are your underpants halfway down still?
Yeah, my butt is still out there.
Man, I'm surprised. You're going to do this three times a week, right?
She gets down there.
If you need a substitute, let me know.
She gets down there.
There you go.
And she says...
You hate the butt so much.
I really do. And she's doing a yeoman's job down there. I mean, I'm actually starting to feel a little better.
Right.
Because of the way that she's pushing where my hip got pushed in.
Faster and faster.
And then she says, okay, I'm done.
I'm through.
Jerry is going to be coming in to give you the electrolyte.
Oh, no.
And I said, okay. I said, can I pull my pants up? And she said, No, Jerry will need to put those little what do you call
them? Electrodes or
those little plastic things that are attached with wires.
Right.
He will need to
Did you know someone was going to be pulling off your underwear before you went?
No.
Did you have any idea it was going to be happening?
No, and this is where this is why it's so embarrassing. It is not until after so this guy Jerry comes in and he goes, "Hey dude, what happened to you?" And I say, "I got hit by a car."
Yeah.
He says, "Oh, really, man? What kind of car did you drive?" You know, I say, for the thousandth time, I go, "I was hit by a car.
A car hit me."
Coming out of CVS. I tell him the whole story. And he's
car hit my body. I guess that's what you have to say to people.
He says, "Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to attach these electrodes, and you tell me when you can feel the sensation, and then when you feel it, we're going to top it off with the ice packs, and you're just going to lay there for 15 seconds. So, for 15 minutes, rather. So, he does this, and he leaves the room. As soon as he leaves the room, my cell phone rings. And it's her goddamn agent. Now, of all the times
right.
to call,
yeah.
this was not the best time. And he was not delivering what I deemed to be good news.
It was Agent Junior.
Yes, it was.
It was Junior Agent.
We have
a junior and a senior.
Mm-hmm. We got a problem that Ephraim is like giving the business to his son.
Yes.
And somewhere in the translation, nobody bothered to tell us
yeah.
that the son was going to be the agent instead of the father.
You don't like the son.
No, and do you? I mean, don't hang me out to dry on this, do you? You're not leading the cheers for him.
No, not at all. I'm with you on every bit of it. I feel much better when senior's involved.
Right, but this is
senior had called you today because Junior shouldn't have called
you. Now, Junior calls and Junior says, Don, and of course he's on a speakerphone. He's always on a speakerphone.
Right.
So I get this. Don, I'm here with John. We just talked to Frida, and we understand that you were hit by an automobile. We just wanted to give you a quick update. And I said, "Well, yeah, sure, I'm just laying here with electrolytes on my ass. Go ahead, what do you
electrodes.
Got?
Electrodes.
Yeah, electrodes. Sorry.
No one was, like, pouring Gatorade over you.
No, electrodes.
Right.
I say, "Sure, what's going on?" He says, "We were never able to get a hold of Alan yesterday." And as soon as he said that...
Yeah, so basically calling you with no news.
With no news. He had missed the phone call he was supposed to make yesterday.
Right.
The phone call, I was on with them, screaming at them to call Alan at a
right.
specific time yesterday. So I lost it with him.
So you're screaming over the phone?
I wasn't screaming because I'm conscious about my voice, but
right.
I was very intense.
Uh-huh. And don't bother me until you have news.
That's pretty much it. I said, "Listen, I am here."
Listen, Junior.
I almost broke my hip. I got people putting stuff on my ass.
Junior.
I'm laying down in therapy.
You're a bastard, Junior.
And you called me to tell me this? I said, "Good job." Or I said, "Effing good job,
Junior."
I hang up the phone. 15 minutes is up. Jerry comes back in. Jerry says, "All right, dude, that's it. You're done." He takes the spongy things off and he wipes me down.
He wipes you.
And he says, "We'll see you tomorrow."
Right.
I said, "Great." He says, "Now, can you get up by yourself?" And I said, "You know what? I don't think so." He says, "I'll give you a hand." So as he's helping me get roll off the table, here we go. Now here, right here, is where it all crystallizes. When I left the house today to go to the doctor, of course, I showered.
Of course.
And I washed.
Of course.
And I did an extremely, extremely vigilant job.
Good.
When I went to select the underpants, I never gave it a thought. I selected a pair that bleach has ignored. And as he... So what he's doing is I'm laying belly down on this table.
I see.
And
yes,
he
Dave.
Says, "Give me your hand. Give me your left hand, your right hand. 1, 2, 3, we're going to roll you over." And so he goes, 1, 2, 3, roll over. And now I'm sitting up, and I see... My underpants have not moved.
Your underpants that have been in that position
down.
Through the lady doing it.
For an hour and a half.
Right.
Now, my genitals are still covered.
So there's that.
Rob.
So I look down between my legs and I see what the hot nurse has seen for the last hour and what pimply-faced Jerry has seen for the last half hour, which is a skid mark.
Oh, no.
Circa 1985.
Oh, God.
However long ago it is that I've had these underpants.
Oh, my God.
I today was not even thinking. I picked out the oldest, rattiest pair of underpants.
White?
Yes, as a matter of fact, so old that they're a combination of pink and blue because they've gone in when I've done the laundry myself.
You had no idea someone was going to be looking at your underpants.
No, and I looked down.
You know, that's why, what is it, Mom always says.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I looked down and I said, now, this guy Jerry, he's putting his stuff away, his machine away. And I'm sitting there, legs akimbo, and I look down and I go, oh. I said, F. I go, oh, F. He goes, what? I said, oh, man, these underpants are nasty. He said, I wasn't going to say anything.
God. Oh, no.
I said, how much did you see? He said, I saw what you see.
Oh, God.
I said, what about her? He said, oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
If I saw it, she saw it.
You'll know if she's not your therapist tomorrow.
So we get done.
And she's hot.
She's very hot.
Oh,
and
no.
We get done, and I get dressed, and then I got problem tying my shoes. Can't bend over tying my shoes.
Yeah.
So I ring on the buzzer, and I say, hi, you know, I'm in room three. I can't tie my shoes. And who is it? But it's Nurse Betty.
The hottie comes in?
The hottie comes back, and I go, hi. And she goes, hi. Oh, do you need problem? You got a problem? Help with your shoes. So now I'm sitting in a chair, and she's putting my shoes on, and
so her face is right down next to your feet now.
Yes, and as she's putting my shoes on and tying my shoes, I said, listen, I really want to apologize for something. And she said, oh, don't worry, I hear that all the time. Because, see, when I was on the phone with the agent,
right,
I dropped the F-bomb a couple of times.
Right.
I said, well, no, not that. Well, of course, I apologize for that, for my language, I said, but I got to look at my underpants. When Jerry was in here.
Man. So you brought it up to her?
Yeah. I said, and they're very, very old. Very old. And I wasn't even thinking. And she said, at first she almost got me. Because she said, she did that. She moved her head around. She said, what? And I said, my underpants. I said, if you didn't notice, never mind. And then she laughed and she said, well, being as you brought it up, I did notice.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And
oh, no.
I said, they're very old. I wasn't thinking, I didn't think today that you would be pulling down my underpants.
How old do you think they were? Seriously, how old would you estimate they were?
I know how old they are because I now wear a size 40 underpant.
Right.
These are size 36 underpants. So that means they're at least 5 years old.
Oh, God.
At least 5 years old.
Yeah, for the WDM, you might want to, like, update those a little bit.
And you know what? In the very same drawer, I have packages of never been worn.
It's just the ones that are comfy.
It, you know what it was? I was
tiny whities.
I was running late today because I took my meds last night and I slept late today.
Do you have favorite pairs?
Yeah. Although these were not necessarily favorites, they were just there.
Handy,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I never sleep until this morning. I slept till 8:45.
Wow. Right.
And the deal at the doctor's, why I had to be there at 10.
Yes.
So I get up, I go downstairs, I have a cup of coffee, I'm hobbling around, I come upstairs, I just grab the first pair of underpants I see.
Mm-hmm.
Not even thinking.
So she was understanding about the...
She was understanding. She said...
She said, here, look at mine.
She said the same thing she said about my ass. She said, I've seen worse.
Oh, yeah. God.
And I said...
That's that backhanded compliment again.
I said, I promise that I'm going to wear clean underwear from now on. And she said, I'm sure your underwear is clean. And she's tying my shoes.
That would be great.
I'm sure your underwear is clean. I said, it is clean. It came right out of the laundry. So a very old pair of underpants. And she said, at that point she stopped. She says, you are kind of obsessed with that area. And I said, well, I told you that,
right,
that I was.
Sure.
And she said, well, don't worry about it.
Right.
I said, you know, she said, my lips are sealed.
Tomorrow I suggest an enema before you go there.
She said, my lips are sealed. I said, well, great. Mm-hmm. See you tomorrow. So
then you'll be ready for anything, including a probe.
I get done. I'm at the front desk. And as I'm leaving, I said to her, see you tomorrow. And she said, just as loud as she can, don't forget the clean underpants.
Oh, ouch.
And
then, she's got a sense of humor.
Yeah. And, I mean, the
too good.
The lobby is full of people.
Right, and everybody looks up.
Everybody's looking at me. And
oh,
suddenly,
dear.
It's me. You know?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Mr. UPS, what can Brown do for you?
What will you select tomorrow? I really think it's... Now, hear me out here.
Brand new, Mike.
Yeah, but it's important. Brand new white.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be white.
That's all I own.
Snow.
That's all I own.
You own multicolors, don't you?
No, I have switched. I have since gone back.
Really?
To all white.
Very brand good. New white and iron them.
That's right. Iron them.
Starch them.
Yeah. Starch them.
Brand new white.
Scotch guard
them. In fact, switch to boxers.
So, goddamn... What a day.
We had a ribbon that says sanitize for your protection.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like you went into the physical therapy having no idea somebody was going to pull your underpants off.
No.
And, you know, once you're prepared for it, you maybe... Is there a party that's maybe looking forward to seeing her tomorrow?
Yeah, there is, except...
As she needs and massages your buttocks.
Except she has seen... She has seen the worst that I have to offer.
She has, which means all the more reason for you to be completely relaxed.
And
as a matter of fact, why don't you do this? This is just a tip, okay?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when I get the anticipatory laugh. When she gets to the... Now, she does your back, your lower back a little bit, then kind of on your side, and then correct me if I'm wrong, it's on your right buttock.
Yeah.
What you want to do is slide your hand around to the left buttock and just pull a little bit.
Stop it.
I was right.
Poor douchebags like this call.
He knew exactly.
Jeff.
He knew exactly what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. Jeff was calling to say, I'm grossing you out. Jeff, can I tell you that if I was to show you the underpants, you with your untrained eye would not even be able to see the stain that I'm talking about, okay? Okay, douche?
We're all familiar with that kind of thing.
All right, douche? Because you're calling here to say that I'm grossing you out.
Oh,
it's not like I'm going in there with a BM in my underpants. Okay? Okay, Jeff?
I hear you.
Okay, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, goodbye, Jeff.
This is not a good day to bust Don's balls.
I'm saying the story was so funny, I laughed and spit my drink up all over my
shirt. It is one of the funniest stories.
How come it says, Don, you're grossing me out?
Well, he must have misheard me or typed it down wrong, but I said I spit up. I spit my ginger ale all over my...
Backtracking, allow him to backtrack.
All right, my friend. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Well, I didn't mean to. Fellow Magruder Colonel.
Well, that means nothing because you went to the same high school I went to. You dumbass.
I'm trying to relay a nice...
Get out of here. Get out of here. A little sensitive about that, about my hygiene.
Sure. Well, you know, the thing is, if you have her now, she has seen the worst, so you can be totally prepared and relaxed. And, you know, all I want to tell you is relax and enjoy yourself.
When I got home, I studied those underpants.
Right.
I sat on a bench in my bedroom.
Looked them over?
And looked
to
at
see
him.
How bad it was? So it probably wasn't as bad as you thought.
No, it was not nearly as bad as I thought, but here's my thought.
Was there any discoloration on the front?
No. Here's my thought, though. If you were to look at them, you wouldn't think anything. You'd think, they're an old pair of underpants.
Right.
But she was looking at them for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So... Maybe after 40 minutes,
she was desensitized.
Well, what I'm thinking is after 40 minutes, she got two choices. She can either look at my back, look at my ass,
right,
or look at my underpants. I got to think after 40 minutes, she's bored with my back.
Yeah.
Of course she's bored with my ass.
But I'd go out today. I mean, even if you had the energy after the show, go to a department store and just buy... Just different ones, brand new. I know you got them in the package at home. I'm talking about change styles. Like, wear the kind that are maybe, what are those kind
boxer
you wear?
Briefs?
Boxer briefs. Boxer briefs, yeah.
No, I'm sick of what I got.
Really?
I'm all right.
Tidy whities?
I'm okay with that.
Or something more outlandish? A pattern? A print?
You know what? I'll tell you. Of course, you, all three of you guys are, you Buzz and Rob, you're all brief guys, right?
Correct.
Oh, you're a boxer guy?
Yeah. Cotton boxers from Eddie Bauer, thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you haven't lived until you've gone the boxer route.
It's true.
They are so much better.
They're like wearing a pair of pants under your pants.
Yeah, but they are so much better, and they don't. You don't have the
shiftage,
the shiftage, and the shiftage, and they launder better.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
For boxers.
Hello, Nordstrom's boxers. I swear by. There's the only piece of clothing that I literally cannot wear any other type are my underwear. My Nordstrom's double button front boxers. It's like having a pair of shorts under your pants.
And they're ribbed on the inside, right?
They're ribbed for her pleasure.
That's why I don't like them. It's like wearing shorts underneath your pants.
No, it's actually more liberating. It's you don't feel like you have any clothing on.
I like having my balls nice and tight.
Really?
Yeah.
I like them flowing down there.
Down, no. Knowing right where they are. Uh-huh. How you doing, Righty? Hi, Lefty. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Steve from Virginia.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing? You went into the hospital, and they're all asking you how your vehicle was, assuming that you were in a car. What? Have they never had this before where someone has been hit by a car when they're not?
I'm glad this caller's irritated like I am about people that didn't know you were struck by an automobile.
And it wasn't a hospital I went to. It was a doctor's office
that
I went
to. Well, still, have they never had this before? Is this a new thing to them? I mean,
has no one fought that?
I guess, you know, and they aren't the only ones that said that to me. I think most people, myself included, before yesterday, would think if someone was hit by a car,
right,
they'd be like in a million pieces on the side of the road being weighed to, like, Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah. Right.
I come walking into the doctor's office. Now, obviously, I'm in discomfort, but I'm walking in.
Well, the trained professionals asking you that, they should know better. I mean, the people that are processing your paperwork and, like, answering the phones are, you know... I mean, they're no better than what you get at 3 a.m. at a Denny's.
And when I found out, I mean, I thought of your history. I mean, you've had your run-ins with other cars in the past, so I naturally thought
it was going to just horribly insult your wife. Yes, you did.
I'm so very sorry.
Let me retract that entire statement, and I have no idea. I mean, you know what? I was wrong.
She is one of those
people. It is
people.
Better. It is
sometimes
much better.
You're right. Some are trained professionals.
Yes, some are trained. Thank you, Buzz. Thank you for extricating me.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
So I guess you're in a lot of pain right now?
Yes.
And I guess it's safe to say you've been pretty embarrassed?
Yes.
All right, I think I got the advice for you, man. Take Dr. Phil's advice from Friday, you know. Douse yourself in some gas and set yourself aflame.
All right, thank you, my friend.
All right.
Some sage advice from the caller.
Thank you. Now, when we get back...
Thank you.
The only thing I got to tell you about is my conversation with the old man's son.
You gave me a little of this in the office.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss this either.
Yeah.
This is called How to Take a Bad Situation.
And make it worse.
Speaking of gasoline, pour a little gas on it.
And make it worse. Let's get a call 100 right now. Mike, you're going to love this.
What's that?
The debut of Secret Sound number 2.
I am very excited about the new Secret Sound.
And we'll take call 100 right now. $1,000 jackpot, 877-365-3636. Are you ready for a free listen?
I am ready for a free listen, and I will tell you that this time around, I'm going to get it a lot quicker.
I would like to make a request, and I really enjoyed this on Secret Sound number 1, where Mike imitated the sound before he heard it.
Okay. Yeah,
could you do that again?
All right. I like that. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, here it goes.
Again, please. Here's the sound.
Oh, missed it that time.
Right rhythm, though, again.
It was a clicking sound. I should have gone with my original. But it was a two-parter, like...
It is a two-parter.
Common everyday sound. What is it? Buzz, you already writing down a guess?
Yeah, well, here it is.
Wow.
I got it, too.
Okay, let's see what is Buzz
writing
down.
See if we can read that.
My hip snapping.
The sound of the hip snapping. Sorry.
It's funny.
Sorry.
I got it. That's funny. Mike, what are you writing down?
Hit it one more time, and then I want to show you this. There it is.
Therapist slapping my ass.
No.
You guys, you're killing me today.
Ready for today's session?
Be the 100th caller right now. Good luck. Dial recklessly, you animals.
This is the Don and Mike Show.